It's great to gather together with you. He's sitting on a stool on the floor of the sanctuary. What is the world coming to? What is he doing? Now, Tim did this last time, and I enjoyed it, just watching him. I enjoyed this. A little more casual, a little more intimate, and that's part of the goal. Part of the goal for this Wednesday night summer series is just that. Just our studies during this time are meant to be more devotional in nature. Just going to set a couple of truth before us that we can soak in and be challenged by and encouraged by. So welcome to our journey through 1 John. Oh, yeah, if you need a Bible, let's pause for a minute and let the ushers pass out Bibles. If you need a Bible, and you will need a Bible if you don't have one, feel free to raise your hand, because we want you to see that it's the Word of God and not man's opinion. And so they'll pass it over to you. For all of us, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Spoke to Kathy today. Many of you know she's over in Hawaii right now with some friends. And I know, rough stuff. But anyway, she says specifically to say hello to everybody. So I'm passing that on. And there you go. Let's just read through the portion we're going to focus on tonight, then we'll see the Lord have for us in all this. We are in 1 John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 5. That's where we left off, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And then the first two verses of chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Go back to verse 9 for just a moment. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A couple of questions just to get us rolling here. They're rhetorical, just for you to think about. But how true is that verse? Now, I know that we've hopefully would jump right on it. You say, that's kind of a strange question, Dale. It's God's word. Of course it's true. But I really want you to think about that. Do you live in the full truth of that verse? How forgiven are we? Again, these are rhetorical, just to think about. How important is this verse, the truth expressed in this verse, that if we've confessed our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from it all? How important is that to you? And how important will that be on our deathbed when we're right there at the threshold of eternity? Tonight, our goal is just to soak in these truths. And they are awesome stuff. This is good stuff. Let's pray. Father, we gather in you, we gather in your word, in your truth. We gather in that reassurance that you want to impart to every believer. And so, Lord, I pray that this be a night of encouragement and ministry and maybe even settling some issues for anybody who it needs to happen. And Lord, if there needs to be a challenge, so be it, because you have the best for us and you know if that needs to take place. Just saying, Lord, by the time we're through with our time here, just help us to really make sure we're resting in, that we're laying hold of that which you're wishing us to have. So lead us, we pray. Speak to our hearts, we pray. And thank you for all we're about to consider. In Jesus' name, amen. We began our study in this 2 weeks ago. Last week was communion, so we really had just the one study in it. And I want to just remind you, Tim pointed out in our first time in this book 2 weeks ago. First of all, that it's a book written to reassure true believers that if you really have received Christ as Savior, the first goal is to reassure us. These hearts of ours can struggle. We can struggle with doubt, etc. And so it's written to reassure us. And yet, while on the one hand it is meant to reassure those who perhaps have trouble laying hold of the fact that they're forgiven, it also is meant to challenge those who think that you can claim fellowship with God and yet walk contrary to Him. John's going to address that. You can't have it both ways. So he wants us to settle it. God wants us to settle it. See, this letter also aims to expose and rebuke those who don't walk in the Lord. They hate their brother. As we go through the letter, we'll see more and more about that in the weeks ahead. But I just love how Tim put it. Tim said, the message of 1 John, when you come right down to it, is Jesus. Now, it's not meant to be theoretical. It's not meant to be just intellectual. It's meant to be heart. Heart settled. The message is Jesus. One commentator puts it this way. John will put before us that God is light, God is love, and God is life. And we need all three of those things. And they're only found in Jesus, the one who came, God incarnate, the one who John speaks about that they heard and handled and saw and all. So important we settle these. So, what is the theme of our focus verses for tonight? I'm going to read through these verses again, and I simply ask you to listen. There's a word that's going to appear more than once, and I just want you to listen for it. If you want, you can even count it. And let's see if we can pick up on what the theme is of our verses. Verse 5 again. This is the message which we've heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You start counting right about now if you like. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Well, what's the one word that appears more than any other word in these verses? Sin. The word sin or sin appears at least some 8 times in these 8 verses. That's a hint. That's a hint of what is being focused on here. So the theme right here in these verses is sin. And how does John frame it? John frames it as this. He frames it in terms of walking in the light versus walking in the dark. It's going to be sin hidden or denied versus sin confessed and forgiven. Remember, John saw, as Tim began a couple weeks ago in teaching, we went through the opening verses. John had saw, he had handled, he said, the word of life. He had experienced the closeness of real fellowship with a living Lord. This isn't about religion. It's about the living Lord and the fellowship that God offers us. In verse 4, he says, these things are written that our joy may be full. But then he goes on to say, okay, but beware. There's something that can mark. There's things that should be existing in that fellowship, but there's things that can block the fellowship, things that can block the joy. So I return to my opening question. How true are verses 7 and 9? Verses 7 and 9 are key, pivotal verses for every believer, the truth expressed there. But I wonder if sometimes we lose sight of them or struggle with the real truth. There's such freedom, there's such victory in these verses to lay hold of. But because they are challenged by the enemy, they're challenged by the world, It's important that we really lay hold of and soak in these awesome truths. When we hear of someone with a past that's definitely qualifies as we might say a rough past, but they've come to the Lord and God's made a really neat change in their life. And yet, if we find ourselves looking at that person and saying, well, that's great and all that they're forgiven, but if we begin to question someone's past, it's really in the end not them that's being questioned. It's not their past that's really being questioned. In the end, it's the truth that this verse is stating that we unfortunately are challenged sometimes. Does God really, really cleanse, forgive, cast away our sin for ourselves and others? Let's work our way through it. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. So he's saying, John's saying, we got a message from the Lord. We heard it from him, and we're passing it on to you. What is the message? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That point of Jesus being light must have really impacted John. In his gospel account, John begins with that same, pretty much right off the bat, he begins by that being one of the things he really stresses. He stresses this attribute that Jesus is light. He's the true light. There's no darkness in him. Jesus had declared he's the light of the world. It's teaching us that we live in a dark world, and before the Lord gets hold of us, we are in darkness. And we hunger for light, and it's only found in one. Light here, of course, the word light here means that God is pure. God is holy. It's a contrast, darkness being that state of sin and all, and light being the state of as the Lord is. He's holy, he's pure. So when it says in him is no darkness, it means that in Jesus there's no sin. And again, it must have really impacted John, because he makes a point of bringing it up a number of times. And then he uses it to establish how important it is that we walk in the light. Since that's an important characteristic about the Lord, he stresses it's important that we also walk in the light and not in darkness. He phrases it that we walk in fellowship, that we should desire to walk in fellowship with Jesus. So what he's doing, he's introducing a litmus test. Again, he's contrasting walking in light versus walking in darkness. And notice that in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So he frames it as a walk. Walk, of course, is a biblical term, and a word used in the Bible a lot. Our walk means our manner of life, our behaviors, our attitudes, our action, our walk. It's how we live our lives. And you cannot walk, meaning you cannot live with yourself in the driver's seat, you cannot live contrary to God's will and think you're going to have fellowship with him. It just doesn't work that way. Sin plugs the pipeline between us and God. We put it in on our end. It's going to be up to us to remove it on our end. But it just does. But this is showing us it's possible to say one thing and do another. We could say, oh, no, I'm close to him. I spend all this time with him, really tracking with him. But the Lord knows. And if our lives have in it those things that are contrary to his will, as it says, we're only deceiving ourselves. We're lying. We don't have fellowship with him. We're not practicing the truth. And we're ripping ourselves off for it. Remember, part of the background of this letter is John is countering the false teaching of a group called the Gnostics. The Gnostics had this whole idea of, well, they had the secret information on how to really follow God, and they had a better take on it than the apostles, they thought. And they taught that the soul and the body are separate, that you can do whatever you wanted to in your body because it didn't really impact the soul. Although you can sin outwardly, they would say, and still spirit-wise, soul-wise, have fellowship with God. John says it's a lie. It's a lie. You cannot separate how you live, the outward with the inner. The outward will reflect the inner, and it's just, you can't do that. It goes hand in hand. But thank God now, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. How much sin does he forgive us of? Some of it. Most of it. No. All of it. What if you were sitting there hearing this for the first time? See, we all hear it. And so I look across your faces, and some of you are kind of smiling, but we kind of go, yeah, yeah. Don't ever get used to that. Let it hit us fresh every time. Do we understand what that means? That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There is no stain that he cannot cleanse. There is no sin that he cannot forgive. You can get excited anywhere you want. It doesn't get much better. It isn't any better. This is awesome, good news. Think how it would be if this was some kind of a limited thing. But it's all. Now, I'm going to read verses 8 and 10 and go back to 9. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin and we deceive ourselves. Oh, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 kind of restates it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If you say you're not a sinner, you're not fooling your friends and mates and everybody. We're not fooling anybody else. We're not fooling God. We're just fooling ourselves if we say we have no sin. We have a sin nature, and we act on that nature. I still remember it was quite a long time ago. I was just real new at this pastoring thing. I'm an assistant pastor at where we came from before here. But I remember teaching that one time how we're all sinners and all. It's only a big deal because it was one of the first times that kind of happened so forcefully for me. And you're going to say, what's the big deal? But it was just one of those occasions that I still remember because it was so. But after a study like this, a woman came up to me afterwards and she really was upset with me. And she said, she basically was saying that it sounds like you're saying I'm a sinner. And I said, well, yeah. And she couldn't handle that. She let me know, how dare you say I'm a sinner? And I'm like, but I'm just passing the news on. You don't appreciate the cure till you know you got the ailment. And it has to be very clear that and I wasn't saying just she, all of us, but she couldn't handle that. She was deceiving herself. And that'll get her nowhere good. And if I argue, well, God, I didn't really do anything bad, didn't really mean it, on and on, you're missing the point. I'm really a good person. No, we're not. We're all sinners. You are, I am, we all are. So now think about it. What's he say? If we walk in darkness, we don't have fellowship with the Lord. Okay, so, and darkness is sin. So, okay, I can't have fellowship with God if there's sin. And yet, if I say I have no sin, I'm lying, I'm in trouble. But if you stopped right there, okay, wait a minute. I can't have fellowship with God if I got sin, and I've got sin. We're all sinners. So if you left right there, you go, Lord, help. I'm in a no-win there. What am I going to do? I have nothing that I can do now. I want to have fellowship with you, but I've got that which blocks fellowship with you. And nothing I do on my side can get rid of that, can deal with it. So it's important we really soak in the answer. The answer is verse 9. But if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is such an awesome, life-changing, eternity-changing verse. John 3:16, of course, such a key. For God so loved us that he sent his Son, that whoever would believe would have eternal life. So, and this goes hand in hand because that's that process. How do I bring that into my life? There needs to be that exchange. There needs to be that confession of it, that what I have, and then a receiving of his remedy for that. Verse 9 is such an important verse for all of us. And so I pray that we might really look at this with our hearts. No matter how long you've been with the Lord, no matter any of things, let it hit us afresh tonight. God's remedy for sin, don't push it under the carpet. Don't try to deny it. Don't say, I'm not as bad as the next guy. Confess it. Let him show you that it's there and show that you acknowledge that, that you recognize there by declaring that, by confessing it. Now, what does the word confess mean? The English word, see, it shows I did a little bit of looking up. So I didn't. The English word confess means to admit the truth of an accusation, to own up to the fact that one is guilty of having committed the sin. But the Greek word goes beyond that. Now listen carefully. The Greek word is made up of two words that mean the same and to say. Put it together, it means to say the same thing as another. What? The Greek word translated confess here means to say the same or to agree. It means to say the same thing as another. So what's that mean here? Confession of sin, in terms of when we confess to God, means for the believer is to say the same thing that God is saying about it. To confess our sins means I'm going to agree with what God says about it, and what God says about me. I'm not going to argue it, try to defend it, explain it. I'm going to agree. I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to call sin, sin. I've got to start there. I've got to admit I have that disease. And if nothing's done about it, I'm doomed. So it's to agree with God. It's to see it like God sees it. I do a certain amount of counseling as a pastor, and sometimes I have to give that assignment to people. They'll come in and talk, and I'll say, you know what? Your first assignment is this. I want you to go out this week and simply ask God to help you see things the way he does. Because so often we don't. And so we're arguing, explaining. I go, you know, before we get any further, you've got to agree with God on this. So may you have a week of it. It's going to be a rough one if you really do this homework. But go out and really see it like God sees it. Ask him to show you it so you might really experience the cleansing of it or whatever the issue might be. We need to see it. We need to see sin. We need to hate sin for what it did to Jesus. What he had to go, we thank God he went through it for us, but we need to hate it for what he had to do that for us. So it means to agree with God how he sees it. I don't know that we see sin. Most of the time we don't, like God sees it. How horrible it is, how destructive it is, what a ripoff it is. So to confess it means to really agree with him, first of all, about it. But if I will do that, if we will really agree with God, God, I see what you're saying. You're holy. I'm not. I see by your word you've declared that. If we will do that, if we will come and confess, turn, repent, cry out, what's it say here? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. What a promise. That's why we say this is meant to assure us, to give us assurance this evening. Again, how much does it say? And to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? That one you can answer out loud. All unrighteousness. All of it. Well, won't verse 9 make us really sloppy Christians? Man, if we lay hold of that, it's like, man, I could just sin with impunity because I just go and ask him to forgive me. Some people are afraid of that. Some people are afraid of like, hey, you don't want to stress that too much. You should kind of press the earning part of it and being good, you know, and everything. Interesting thing. If we lay hold of what has happened and this way he forgives and the truth of it, it makes us hate sin far more than just trying to follow a bunch of rules. We fall in love with him for what he's done for us and what our future holds and his very presence now and everything else. And we start recognizing, wow, I don't want anything to get between me and him. And it's no longer a work of a law trying to earn something. It's because he already loves me, and I don't want to put in between me and him. See, Romans 7 and 8 are still in effect. What I mean is this. There's that argument there. Well, if grace abounds, more sin abounds. Grace abounds more. Why not keep on sinning? Paul says, God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? If we really get it, he says, you won't want to do it. It's not how close to the edge can I get without falling off. It's how close to the center can I get with him? How close can I get with him? That's what real love does. So if we really see the harm that sin does, the fellowship it breaks, it breaks fellowship with God. I'm not saying we lose our salvation once we're saved, but if we sin, it plugs up the pipeline, and we are far worse for it. So don't deny it, don't excuse it, but run to him. But when we run to him for forgiveness, what do we find? He cleanses us, he forgives us, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You and I sit here, if you receive Christ as Savior, you're as forgiven, you're cleansed, you're as forgiven as Billy Graham or anybody else if you've come to him. Well, that's cool stuff. So thank God we can do that. So I ask you, do you need to do that tonight? That first time, maybe you've never really received Christ as Savior, go to the prayer room and wrap it up and give prayer and say, I need to begin that journey. I need that. I want that. But this is written to believers, like verse 1 of chapter 2, my little children. He's speaking to believers that we even as believers still sin. And maybe you've come today and you need to get something straight. And you've been trying to rationalize it or, you know, la, 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 trying to pay attention. Go to the prayer room or take some time this evening somewhere and get it straight. Get back into close fellowship, whatever might be going on. But I also want to mention this about all this. Have you ever found yourself, again, this is rhetorical. I guess you could answer out loud, but you don't have to. You ever find yourself praying over and over again about a particular sin you committed? You know, sometimes you commit those really biggies. You know, it wasn't like you did something like, oh, man, Lord, I really blew it that time. I really got outside your will on that one. And you find yourself saying, boy, I'm really going to have to pray about this one. Boy, I'm going to have to spend some time, a long time in prayer about this one. And we go, we say, Lord, we confess it, Lord, I did this, and I really blew it, and please forgive me. And then, half an hour later, Lord, please forgive me for that. I can't believe I did it. And later that night, you're still, Lord, please forgive me, and I can't believe it. And sometimes we go on for a long time praying over and over again about that thing because it was bad, it was serious, you really blew it, and you want to, and you're having trouble feeling forgiven, That's because you're not laying hold of this verse. That's why I began with, if it's true, which it is, why are you struggling? If it's really true, why do you keep going back and saying, God, please forgive me for what I did last week. I still can't believe I did it. No. What am I saying? If I have come, if my heart am broken and I come and I say, God, I confess my sin to you. Please forgive me. He's faithful and just to forgive me. At that point, for him, it's done. Don't waste your time. Keep going. What would you feel as a parent if your child kept coming back and asking that same? Well, they do, don't they? But they keep asking after all, like, I told you. Don't dishonor him. And don't take his word so lightly that you keep going back about that thing. He says, if you came sincerely, I mean, not you didn't earn it, and you just came and got, you're broken about it, you confessed it. He says it's forgiven. And so I wonder if there's somebody tonight that you've been there or you're there right now. You've done that, you've prayed. Sometimes people pray 20 years later. Lord, I still can't believe it. I'm so sorry. He's going, what? What? That's gone. But we beat ourselves up. We keep going back like that. Somehow, that's going to earn something. It's time maybe for someone to take him at his word and believe him when he said, you confessed it, I forgave it. Now let's get back on track. Let's get back into fellowship and move on. to keep beating ourselves up, to keep going back over and over again, at that point, it's not about him any longer. It's a hang up in us or something. We don't understand these verses. We don't understand the truth of it. So that's my encouragement tonight. And it is such a blessing to know that it's finished. It's done. If you've come to him and really gave it to him, he took it. He forgave it. He cleansed it. Don't keep dredging it up. It's just a waste of time. For what does it say? Look, verse 9. He is faithful and just to forgive us. If I keep going back, what's that say about me believing that? Do I really believe him to be faithful and just? It says he is, and that he forgave. But if I keep going back, see, it's a challenge to us if we really lay hold of this truth. He is faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. And if he said it, it's sure, more sure than anything we see or feel around us. And he means it. He's faithful. And he's just. What's that mean? See, the cross allows God to be both faithful and just. He's just. He didn't just wink at that sin that you're going to him and asking him to forgive. He doesn't wink, that's okay. It wasn't. But he sent his son to die for it. The sin didn't get winked at, it got paid for. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The sin didn't get winked at, it got paid for. Justice and mercy meet at the cross. I got to soak in this all day. Maybe I'm just more excited about it. But I got to study it all day. I'm like, this is such a good reminder and so awesome truth. So just remember this. He paid for it and allowed him to be both just and faithful. Real quick, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, the things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If anyone sin in here? Does anybody sin? Oh, about 3 or 4 of you. Take heart. We have an advocate with the Father. You got the best defense attorney in the world. There's one who ever liveth to make intercession for you. That word advocate is the Greek word parakletos. It means an intercessor, a counselor. He's our advocate. And what's really awesome, look at verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Put those together. Your defense attorney, who sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to plead your case, also paid your fine. He is the propitiation. He paid the price. It means an atonement. So the one pleading our case is the one who paid the bill. Can't beat it. In closing, I have found that the strongest motive to walk in the light is his love for us. As I said earlier, not rules and regulations. Just be so in love with him that you don't want anything to get between you and him. And if something does, you'll sense it right away. Run to him and get it cleared up and keep tracking with him. Lay hold of verses 7 through 9 and rest right there. Let's pray. Father, how John wanted us to know this. But we know he's writing that you're prompting because you want us to know it. There is a place of forgiveness. Forgiveness for our sins. There's a refuge for us. We have an advocate who's paid the price. And all these truths, Lord, if there's anybody who hasn't received, speak to their heart right now. Anybody who's been struggling with this, help them to settle the issue. So where we're at in all this, Lord, bring us to that place of laying hold of this awesome truth. Truly, the blood of Jesus Christ has indeed cleansed us. Help us all, Lord, to keep walking in that fellowship of the light, that fellowship with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to have Tim come up and close us in song.